All right, sorry for the delay. Hello, everybody. My name is Paweł Wieczorek. I work at Samsung R&D Institute Poland. Currently, I am involved in release engineering process for Tizen Linux distribution, created specially for embedded Linux devices. I work with the common profile, which is targeted at and its target is to provide a simple Linux distribution for as many target devices as possible. Today, I would like to talk to you about our automated testing laboratory, a project which we started almost a year ago, and how it evolved, what it is right now. I will start with a short introduction of our solution. Then I will describe to you what drove us to creating such a laboratory. I will also present what we did automate and how we did it. And then I'll share with you our to-do list, what is still yet to be done. I will end this with a short summary and conclusions. So to introduce our solution, this is how how the basic unit of our automated testing laboratory looks like. It consists of multiple single board computers, which we use as target devices for Tizen Common Linux distribution. It also has some supporting hardware, which I will describe in depth later. As you can see, all the SBCs, single board computers, are in groups of a few, are multiple, mainly to have them redundant. If any hardware failure occurs, there is always possibility that the other one is still working. Also, it allows us to perform all the tests in parallel to make them faster, to get the results faster. Also, if there is a failure in tests, we always redo them on the other SBC, just to make sure that test failure wasn't that it's not a hardware's fault. Unfortunately, once the whole unit of testing laboratory gets hooked up, it doesn't look as pretty. It looks more like this once we put all the cables in the right places. But for now, let's get back to the pretty picture. And let me describe in depth what we've got here. To test on Intel-based architectures, we use MinoBoard TurboTs. Back when we started the project, we used MinoBoard Maxes, which are almost in any way compatible between these two versions. They are compatible with mounting holes, with ports placement, and of course with architecture we test on. They also allow us to perform tests on both 64-bit Intel architecture and 32. It is changing it is as easy as replacing EFI. To test on ARMv7 architecture, we use Odroid's U3 Plus. They are pretty common, unfortunately, no longer manufactured, but we've got a few pieces and they are small. They have lots of commonly used ports and they perform great in our testing laboratory. As I mentioned before, our target is to provide support for as many architectures as possible. So We also added ARM64 target devices, and currently high keys are our reference devices for ARM64. As for supporting hardware, we of course we've got two USB hubs. So these are just plain stock boards to hook the whole setup up. Also, on the top and the bottom, we've got six boards of our custom design. These are micro SD card D multiplexers, and I will describe them in depth shortly. These devices up close look like this and allow us to share access to the micro SD cards between testing host and target device being under test. Once you know how it looks like, let me tell you what drove us to creating such a solution. And to make it entirely clear, I would like to describe to you shortly how does release engineer work look like at Tizen Linux distribution. So first of all, a software developer clones Git repository from our Gerrit server. Developer makes changes and pushes them back to Gerrit server for the review. Once the review is done and reviewer, both reviewer and developer is happy, are happy with given patch, integrator takes his role and merges given patch to the repository. And that's not all that integrator's work is all about, because then integrator should create a submit request, which is then processed by us, by release engineers. A submit request is an information that we should include new version of software in releases of Tizen distribution for all the target devices. And such submit request is then processed by our Jenkins server to the open build service for Tizen.org, where all the software that is patched, and not only it, but also all its dependencies, are being rebuilt and RPM packages are created. Once this is done, a new image of the distribution is created and is available for further testing. And this is where release engineers take control. This is where we start our testing. As you can see, most of the workflow is already fully automated. Jenkins server and OBS work fully independently. The images that are being produced, they required some manual work in order to be sure that new change that was submitted can be accepted, or if it should be rejected because it introduces some regression, or simply fails to build for a given release. Our work is based mainly on two tools, which I already mentioned, on Open Build Service server and on Jenkins. Our automated testing laboratory had to be created based on those two technologies. We've tried alternative solutions, but these worked best so far. They are well known, they are pretty stable, and they suit most of our needs. And how do we use them? First of all, if OBS shows up that there is a build failure, we should investigate it and check for possible solution. We also check if new images work properly on all target devices or whether it introduced some regressions. Also, once we gather all the information, we then may approve inclusion of verified changes. But this takes a lot of time when it is done manually, when it is done by hand by release engineers. It's mainly caused by multiplicity of target devices that we test on. We currently test only on a single example of given architecture, and since we test on four of them, there are already four paths that each new change has to pass in order to be included in Tizen release. As you can imagine, this work is pretty monotonous. It requires repeating over and over again the same set of instructions, the same set of commands to be executed. But still, it requires a lot of focus, because all the test results look pretty similar, and it requires a good eye to catch some differences between them. So we asked ourselves, maybe not all the images created on submit requests should be tested as thoroughly, or maybe just a few test cases have to be checked on each one. We also briefly considered assumption that maybe if the software builds, it's pretty good indicator that it works properly. Unfortunately, this is not how we would like to create Linux distributions, especially for embedded devices. We always try to resolve all the defects that we find as soon as possible. It is much harder to find a reason of such failure if we checked it on rare occasions. We also tend to look for a solution, not just workaround. Workarounds, from our experience, do backfire, and this is not the way we try to create a Linux distribution. And most importantly, we do not release software which was never tested on an actual device. All the images that are publicly available at our download server were being flashed onto target devices and are safely to use. So the only way to make this whole process easier for release engineers and to release them actually from all this manual work was to automate the whole process, and that's actually what we did. What was to be automated could be categorized in a few sets. First of all, we had to poll servers for any change. Unfortunately, OBS server does not provide any event system for us to be notified once a change occurs. We also had to actually automate getting those images from the servers, but the software tasks were pretty easy, pretty scriptable, so it didn't take much time. As for controlling all the host machines and target devices, this required a little bit more work, but more on that shortly. As for publishing test results, which we didn't want to keep for ourselves, but we wanted them to be shared with others in case someone does not believe our results and wants to reproduce them, we decided they should be publicly available to everyone. And probably the hardest task for us was to provide a unified way for flashing target devices with new images prior their publication. As I mentioned before, OBS, unfortunately, in the version that is deployed on Tizen.org servers, does not provide any events. And because of that, because of it currently is not best suited for fully automated mechanism, it provided more human-readable naming conventions, which had to be parsed in order for full automation of the process. What is more, discovery of all the new images had to be made on multiple levels, as currently images are not published all in one place, but are categorized through architectures, display manager variants, target devices, and so on. Fortunately, with technology that we already know and in most cases like, we could make Jenkins to be able to work for us. And tasks such as scheduling or queuing new tests was already made for us by the Jenkins server. As for having to communicate with all the devices, we considered several possibilities. First of all, we thought about SSH because it is already very popular. It provides many features and it is a flexible solution. However, it depends on multiple services, networking, for example, and we didn't want such a dependency for our communication with target devices. We wanted as little as possible, and since some of target devices do not provide Ethernet port, some of them are only equipped with wireless communication, we thought that it would be better to find another solution. We also considered serial console, which is most popular at embedded development. However, the rate of data transfer was too low for our needs. And unfortunately, this solution is not as flexible as others. Since neither of them could be chosen, we decided to fall back to the default communication protocol used in Tizen development, which is Smart Debug Bridge, or SDB for short. SDB provides us with the best of both worlds. It requires only a USB connection. It depends on single service, which is already available at all Tizen images. It is pretty flexible It provides shell access, remote command execution, and file transfer. Once we have that in place, we also took care about configuration management for our test servers, for our host machines. We started with just providing a handbook in TestLab handbook repository, but we soon found out that this was not enough. Changes made to the server were put in much faster pace that we could update our handbook. This is why we decided to provide Ansible playbooks for storing configuration of our test servers in TestLab host repositories. This way, we were able to improve our deployments, to have a rollback strategy, and since it is already defined, providing new nodes to our laboratory is much faster, much easier, and much more reliable than repeating set of instructions over and over again. This way, we also got rid of servers which were configured by some person and had some different set of configuration. And that's how Snowflakes, which is a name for those servers, most common, were removed from our setup. But having our internal infrastructure in place wasn't the last task. We also had to work with our external infrastructure on Tizen.org servers. Mostly, we wanted to use it for result publishing. And since Wiki is already available at Tizen.org, we decided that it might become a place for publishing our test results. It is easily available to everyone. It provides a possibility of future reuse of the test results we provide. And since we didn't want to introduce any new service for sharing our results, we decided that it is the way to go. This way, we can provide information about our environment and what we actually did with everyone. And all the test results have a safe place to be published. We also hope that this data can be used in future, for example, for statistical analysis on how Tizen Linux distribution was improved. To do so, we use a great tool provided by MediaWiki, which is PyWikiBot. PyWikiBot provides easy interface in Python for both reading and writing to the wiki server. And last, we also had to overcome the problem of flashing target devices. And it was not an easy one. Unfortunately, current ways, current set of tools which is used to flash new images onto target devices is focused on user interaction. It is also designed for not for platform developers, but rather for app developers, and it assumes that app developer only requires single board in his setup. So it is not well suited for having multiple devices connected all at once. Also, the procedure for flashing devices is pretty architecture specific. There are different sets of tools, of commands to execute for each of architecture we test on. This is why we decided that it should be the way of flashing devices should be unified once and for all for every architecture we support currently. And we found out that all these devices share a unique feature. They are bootable from as micro SD cards. And it is currently, I believe, already a standard, since not only devices I mentioned before, HiKeys, Odroids, and Mino boards are suited to do so. Many other more popular platforms, such as Raspberry Pis or different examples of Odroids and other single board computers, also use this standard for memory access. This is why we came up with our design for micro SD card demultiplexer. And what you see here is actually our second attempt at creating such device. The first one was a little bigger. The first one we thought that was early in the beginning of the project. We thought that maybe SD, a regular SD card would be better standard. We soon found out that it is a dead end and that we, if we want to be as close to the actual hardware that will be used in target devices, we had to switch to the miniaturized version, to the micro SD cards. Design SD Max provides many connections. First of all, board control, which we use to manipulate with the board itself. Since we already did most of it based on USB connections, we decided that it is the right way to go for SD Max as well. Then, of course, we've got a reader for memory cards, and we use actual memory cards, not some flash drive built onto SD Max board, but actually memory card. It proved itself to be useful since we can now measure the wear on memory devices, and this way we are as close to the actual hardware as possible. Of course, there are also connections to the target device for a debug bridge and to connect the memory card to the target, and the same for host machine. There is also a power switch to be able to remotely turn off or turn on target device. Together with our micro SD card demultiplexer comes a little shell tool which we use in our scripts and provides access to all the features of SD Max board tasks which we can put it on this device. This way, our former workflow, which still required manual work from release engineer, could be made fully automated. We no longer had to download images. then put them on my memory cards, put the cards back to the target devices, run the test, gather results, and compare them with our basic data. This little board of our design allowed us to make this whole workflow fully automated. We decided that since it provided such an improvement in our workflow, maybe it could be useful for others as well. This is why schematics for boards and for the expansion cords to connect cards with actual hardware are all available at Git server at tizen.org. We also thought that no proprietary software should be necessary to access those schematics. This is why we provide them in format readable by open source software KiCad for designing circuit boards. All the information, all the schematics and some documentation is available at Git server at git.tizen.org. Once we got it all in place, we began to think what should be done next. And since we already had the whole workflow fully automated, we decided that we should focus on having the load on our setup balanced in a proper way. We decided that since we expect already a higher load on our test servers, we should provide a solution for determining which images will not be useful for us, to reject them as soon as possible. We also now need a more detailed way of determining differences between tested images. Unfortunately, just a difference returned from packages, from a list of packages installed onto the image for Tizen is not enough. And having just a name and hash from Git server is not really a best solution to compare two images. So there is a need for improving in this matter. Also, we plan to improve failure management. We want to get as much data as possible, even from failed tests. What is more, and is connected with it, we intend to have a better management over our resources, over our target devices, since it is limited number, since there is limited number of targets we test on. We also currently think of distributing the system in order to be able to test on much more target devices, on other examples for those architectures, and not to be required to run all the tests in a single laboratory. But this is still yet to come. And to summarize shortly what we've been working on, I would like to share with you that currently automation does not need new wheels. There's no need for reinventing them. With currently available tools, such as tools for configuration management, for advanced scheduling and queuing tasks, or for having all the packages for Linux distribution repository rebuild, there is not much need for new tools. What is more, enforced limitations, which currently we stumbled upon in external infrastructure, can be quickly and easily overcome with short scripts. Custom hardware, which we were not convinced that will prove itself useful in a long run, can be designing such custom hardware can be intimidating, but it pays off in a long term. Just like automating manual processes. That is all what I've got for you today. If you have got any question, I am more than happy to answer them.
Which was just about the relationship between this and... Oh, sorry. You have my...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just if you'd like to talk about any other related projects, I had one in mind, which was just, I remember going to a talk to Mini DebConf last year at Arm, where they had a talk about Snowflakes, where they'd actually been looking at SD multiplexers and hadn't found one that worked. They didn't try to make one in-house. And therefore were mainly talking about kernel CI. And so I just wondered if you'd like to contrast those approaches and whether you've looked at that was part of Linares. Obviously, I guess.
So would you like to have to differences between kernel CI and our solution, or just
I guess just if you just like to maybe outline some differences between the approach and why
why
this one works better for your
So as for custom design of all the board, Linaro wanted a different approach to share memory between a target device and host machine. They required different connections. The only connection they took into account was Ethernet. That was not the case for us. We decided that a simpler solution might be easier to use. As for kernel CI, it is focused on other set of tests than we are. Kernel CI provides boot tests and not the test of the user space, of the systemd services that are being run, which we currently do. Kernel CI also focuses on kernelci.org focuses on gathering results from many different laboratories, whereas we focused on creating such laboratory for our purposes. Their solution is great. It provides much useful data, much useful information. I hope that our distributed laboratory would be as helpful as theirs. But our key focus is far from theirs.
Thank you.
I am not sure if you're aware, but there are two more projects which currently involve automated testing on embedded systems. One is for automotive grade Linux, AGL for short, and one is it was once called JTA, Jenkins Test Automation, but if I recall correctly, it was recently renamed to Fuego, if it rings a bell. We compare our solution to those as well, and we hope that we will be able to come up with maybe more standardized solution to combine all the needs in one project. If someone would like to contact for further information or for more links to our source code or to schematics of our boards, here's the email address for me. I'm afraid I won't be able to answer detailed questions about current design of our board, but I will be able to point you to the actual designer. Thank you for your attention and have a good return back home.